Today's shir is Masechta Maariv Katan Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin on a base, four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan begins the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan K'shem Sha'amru Asul Galeich B'Moyed. Just like Chazal taught us that one may not take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and of course, as we've been learning consistently in our Masechta, the reason one may not take a haircut on Chol HaMoed is because Chazal wanted. One should not come into Yontif without having been properly groomed. And therefore, he should take the haircut before Yontif, not wait for Chol HaMoed. Kach osu litol tzipornayim b'moed. So too is the halacha that one may not cut his nails on Chol HaMoed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. For the same reason, Chazal were concerned that a person should not delay cutting his nails until Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Mata. And Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. There are many explanations I saw in the basis of the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. The Karen Oira explains that how do we look at cutting of the nails? If we look at cutting of the nails as an act of kishut, an act of making oneself look beautiful, so that should be waited, that should indeed be done before Yontif. But if we look at the act of cutting one's nail as a essential activity that we all do with our bodies, so then one would be allowed to take cutting the nails on Chol HaMoed. Another explanation that I saw from Rabbi Yoshev. As we said at the beginning of our shiur, Chazal were concerned that things should not be delayed for Chol HaMoed, that things should not be allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, for they were concerned if that would be the case, people would delay them deliberately for Chol HaMoed. He says that A, cutting the nails is not such a significant activity, and B, people are particularly repulsed by having long nails. And therefore, nobody is going to deliberately delay cutting the nails, according to Rabbi Yossi, for Chol HaMoed. And therefore, the halach is, you could cut the nails on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara. Shem Shamra Oval Osul Galeach B'mei Avloi. Somebody may not cut the hair during his Avelis. Kach Osul Litel Tzipanayim B'mei Avloi. So too may one not cut their nails while they're Avelis. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Mata. Says the Gemara, Amma Locha. Amma Ula. Ula teaches us, Halacha Rabbi Yossi B'mayid. We follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda as far as an oval, and an oval should not cut his nails. And he writes that during Chol HaMoed, one may cut the nail. Shmuel Amar, halach Rabbi Yossi b'moed u'b'oval. He, on the other hand, says that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi both on far as Hilchus Chol HaMoed and as far as Hilchus Avelis. Dama Shmuel, because Shmuel's opinion is halach k'divrei mekel b'evil. Whenever we speak about Hilchus Avelis, we go with the mekel. And the Rishonim discuss, well, Avelis is a derabbanan. And we know, Suffolk derabbanan l'kula. And therefore, the halacha certainly should be that we mekel whenever we have a question in Hilchus Avelis. So one teretz that the Rishonim suggest, going back to an issue that we raised earlier, is Avelis indeed completely a derabbanan? The halacha is that there are Rishonim that hold that the first day of Avelis is a deraisa. So we can't just rely on the concept Suffolk derabbanan l'hokel. Another point that the Ramban makes is that even though Suffolk derabbanan l'hokel, but that doesn't change the rule, for example, that yochid v'rabim, when we have a machlokes between a yochid and a rabim, we follow the opinion of the rabim. So he says what the Gemara here is teaching us is that we have a question in Hilchus Avelis where the rabim are machmer and the yochid is mekel. So under normal circumstances, we should go l'chumra. We should follow the rabbim. Halacha k'divrei ha-mekel b'oval teaches us that we always choose the more lenient opinion, even if the rabbim take the stricter opinion, we follow the lenient opinion, and that's why Shmuel says one is allowed to cut his nails, but avelus. However, the minig ha'olam says the Ramah is that we don't cut our nails. Rachman, son of somebody, is a ovel. One doesn't cut his nails during the shloshim even. As far as Chol HaMoed, the Magen Avraham says that certainly if somebody cut their nails already before Yontif, so one, the concern that we've been discussing, that people are, that there's a concern that you're deliberately delaying cutting your nails until Chol HaMoed, doesn't exist. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says somebody who cut his nails before Yontif may certainly cut his nails on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Pinchas Achud Mashmul, Isra Bei Milsa. He became Rechmon Tzlon and Avol, all Shmuel Mishal Tamim and A. He came to visit him. He came to Menachem Avol him. Chazul Tufri Davin Nefishin. He saw that his nails were long. Amalei, so Shmuel asked Pinchas, Amai Lo Shkatluhu, why haven't you cut your nails? Amalei, so Pinchas said to Shmuel, Iba did they have a if something would, like this would have happened to you, that you would be Rechman Tzlon and Avol, would you disrespect the Avelis? Have a Kishkoga Yoetzim of Nea Shalit. The Pasuk in Kehelet says that if somebody says something difficult, it will happen. And Vesere Milsa Shmuel. And indeed, Shmuel became an Avol. All Pinchas Achvel, Mishal Tam Minei. And now Pinchas came to be Menachem Avol Shmuel. Shaklin al Tufrei. He took his nails, chaftin el ape, and he threw it at his face. Vamu leslach, Shmuel said to Pinchas, don't you know that there's a concept, a brisk crucilus for Sayim, and you should have been careful how you spoke to me? Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us, Menayin she brisk crucilus for Sayim, Shunam av yom avram al norov, Shulach empayim chamor, when they were going, as Avram Avinu thought, to put Yitzchak on the Akedah. And Avram said to them, you stay here, to Eliezer and Shmuel. He said to them, you stay here with the donkey. Avram Avinu, not recognizing, said that he will return. And indeed, V'stai Milsa D'Hadu Tavayu. And that indeed what happened. So, Mefarshim asked, why does the Gemara bring the Raya from here? The Gemara Masechta Brachos, Tosfos Dvarei Mask Vestai asks, that the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Yud Tesa Aman Aleph teaches us, La'olam al yiftach odem piv l'satan. So why isn't that what the Gemara mentions? So the Marashoy answers, when the Gemara al yiftach piv l'satan refers to somebody saying something that's going to happen bad to him. Here we're speaking about someone else. And that's why the pasuk of Avram Avinu, where Avram Avinu was speaking about Yitzchak, who will return from the Akedah, is a more appropriate pasuk. So the Bnei Yeshiva, who was studying the opinion of Shmuel, thought that when is Shmuel lenient? The yad in, by the nails on the hand, because that's particularly repulsive. Avil, the regal, but the nails on the feet, which are covered, loy, we have no right to cut them. But says the Gemara, Amar Rav Anan bat Achlifu l'day mefashleim in the Shmuel, I heard from Shmuel, loyshna the yad, loyshna the regal, it doesn't make a difference, the nails on the hands or the foot, one may cut them. Amar Rav Chibar Ashi, Amar Rav, or begunstra, even though we're being lenient, with a scissor is osur. And there's a very big machloikus rishonim. How to understand this? Is Rav not arguing with Shmuel? Rav is concurring with Shmuel that one is allowed to cut the nails on the Avelis or certainly during Chol HaMoed. But Rav is saying that even though you're cutting the nails, you're only allowed to do it with a shinui. You're not allowed to cut them with a scissor or with any implement that's normally used for cutting the nails. And Shmuel will agree with that. Or is Rav and Shmuel arguing? And Rav is saying that you have to do it with a shinui. And Shmuel, who's been lenient in our shir, not only is he lenient that one may cut the nails, but Shmuel's going to hold that you cut it with a regular implement. And interesting that the Shulchan Aruch says that Shulchan Aruch paskins like Shmuel, but the Ramah does not. And the Mechaber says that one shouldn't use an implement, he should only use his hands or to cut his nail because of we follow the opinion of Rav. Om Rav Shem bar Abba, have a came the Kameh Rabbi Yochanan by Medrasha. I was standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis Medrash, Bechol Shmoid, v'shakina l'tufri b'shinei, he bit off his nail, his nails, v'zakinam, and he picked them up. Says the Gemara, v'zakinam, he threw them away. Says the Gemara, shmami not las. From this episode, we can learn three halachas. Shmami not mutal litol tzapayin b'chol Shmoid. One would may cut his nails of Chol Hamoed, and that's why, that's exactly what happened here. B'shmami no ein be mishamis, he bit them off, and it's obviously not considered mias to do so, repulsive. B'shmami no mutal zorkin, that you're allowed to throw your nails after you've cut them. Ask the Gemara, any, is that true? For Tanya, have we not learned in a Braisa? Shlosha Devarim Nemru B'tzun B'naim, the three halachas that are said regarding nails. Hakoivron, somebody who burns, who buries his nail, is a tzaddik. Hasarfon, somebody who burns the nails, is a chassid. And the reason he's considered a chassid is because he's doing Lefnim Mishur Sadim. And as the Rishonim explain, because by burning them, you're guaranteed that they won't be available. And we're going to learn in our Gemara that if a woman comes in contact with the nail, he could suffer. And this person, therefore, wanted to make sure that that would never happen, and therefore he burns it, he's a chassid. I saw that Lubavitcher Rebbe explains why is he considered a chassid. He says, because this person is burning the nails, as we just explained, burning the nails, because he's concerned that chas v'sholem, nobody should come in contact with the nails. But, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, while one is burning his nails, there's always the chance that he's going to burn himself. But what is the definition of a chassid? He says the definition of a chassid is someone who's more concerned about someone else than he is about himself. And therefore, this person is prepared to burn his nails, even though while burning the nails, he may burn himself. But if the burning them will be to the benefit of someone else, he's willing to do so. Tamamai, the Chazarkun, and somebody who discards his nails, he's considered a Rasha. And the reason he's considered a Rasha is because a woman who's pregnant, who will pass over nails, could miscarry a child. Some say because of kshafim, and others say because it's particularly repulsive to see the nails that way. And a woman who's pregnant is sensitive, and seeing those nails can make her that repulsive feeling can make her miscarry. The Eli Rabba has a different explanation. He says that the Medrash says that before Adam and Chava did the Avera of eating from the Eitz Hadas, their entire body, he explains, was covered with a material that the nails are made from. And then, after Eitz Hadas, that's when things changed. They started wearing clothing, and the fingernails and the nails on the toes are the only nails that are left. Who was the one that caused that Avera to happen? The woman. And that's why women are particularly sensitive to nails, explains the Eli Rabba. Tamamai. So says the Gemara, Zorkin Rosh, Tamamai, Shtamatava, Alein Ishi Obrok. We're concerned that a pregnant woman will pass over them with tapel. And says Rabbi Yochanan, that isn't concerned. V'isha by Medrash Lo Shchicha. Women aren't found in the Beis Medrash, and therefore he was allowed to cut his nails there and not be concerned. Ask the Gemara v'chitema zimna the mechneshe loy v'shar levroy. Even if he cut his nails in the Beis Medrash, but afterwards they're swept outside. And once they're swept outside, why are we not concerned again that a pregnant woman may pass by them? Answers the Gemara, kiven de ishtene ishtene. The Ran explains that they only could cause damage right at the spot where they fell. But if they're not at the exact spot where they fell, if they move from there, they can't do damage. Moreover, he says that the nails could only do damage on the day that they're cut. Any other day, they won't be able to do damage. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Ba Chams Mufnei Rebbe. Ba Mechams Mufnei Rebbe. A Zog, Ba Mechams Mufnei Rebbe. A pair of Talmid Chacham came to Rebbe. Um, Zutra Matzni, Zutna's version was, Zom Ba Mechams Mufnei Rebbe. Ubik Shemenetz Apanayim. And they asked the question that we've been discussing. May one cut their nails during the day of Avelis? Vehitalehem. And he said, it's permissible. In Bikshu Mimena Sofa, and the Gemara says, if they would have asked, if they're allowed to cut their mustache while they're Avelim, Hitalehem, he would have been matted that as well. The Shmuel Amar, Apikshu Mimena Sofa. It's not just if that would have happened, he would have said so. Exactly, it did happen for Hitalehem, and he allowed them to cut the mustache. Amar Avital Safra, Mishmei the Rav, Sofa Mizavis Lazavis, you're allowed to cut the mustache from one side of the mouth to the other side of the mouth. Amar Rav Ami, but Rav Ami comments, that's only B'Sofa Makevis. When may an oval cut his mustache? Only when it's bothering him, it's interfering from his eating. Amar Rav Nachman, L'Didi, I am very sensitive. Safa mekavis damili. Any hair in the mustache area is disturbing to me, and it prevents me from being eaten. And that's why the halacha says the Shulchan Aruch is certainly during the Chol HaMoed, even though we're learning you're not allowed to cut your hair or shave during Chol HaMoed, cutting the mustache, if it bothers you, it may be cut. Regarding if one may cut the mustache during the Avelis, it's machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim are lenient by Avelis. Others say only Chol HaMoed can we be lenient, not by Avelis. V'ama avital safra mishmei the Rav. Paroi shoy b'mei Moshe. The paroi that we all know about in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hu ama, he was only an ama tall. V'ziknei ama, and his beard was an ama long. Upak shmishtoi ama v'zeres. And his male organ was an Amar Ruzeris. And the Ben Yoyada explains that it isn't to be taken literal, but it's just to show that he was extremely short. And what we want to learn from here is that the Pasuk says, Katan Ata V'Nivza, the Paroi was a despicable individual. Kaim Shem Namar, Ushval Noshem Yokum Aleh. V'ma Vital Safra Mishmei D'Rav, Parashoy b'melech melech amgushi hoyo. He was a mechashif. Shnema hine yotza mayim. He would go out every morning to the Nile River because that's where he did his kishif. We learned in the Mishnah, ve'el mechapsim and ba'amayid, the following individuals may wash their clothing chol HaMoed, even though normally laundry may not be done chol HaMoed. We learned, habam im dinas hayam. If somebody comes home from overseas, Amar Asi, Amar Yochanan, Misha ein lo chaluk echad. But if somebody only has one garment, Mutal chapsoi b'chol HaMoed, he's allowed to wash in a chol HaMoed. Because such an individual, even if he had a cloth, even if he would wash his clothing before chol HaMoed, since he only has one garment, it's inevitable that that garment is going to get dirty on chol HaMoed, and he doesn't have another garment to change it, and therefore he's allowed to clean it on chol HaMoed. And Taisa says that even if he didn't clean it before Yontif, we can maybe say, Taisa suggests, yes, if he washed his garment before chol HaMoed, and now he only has this one garment and it gets dirty, he's allowed to wash it. Says Taisa that even if he didn't wash that one garment that he could have washed before chol HaMoed, if he didn't wash it, he still is allowed to wash it on chol HaMoed. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if somebody has only one garment, he's allowed to wash it in Chol HaMoed. And the Rama says, that anything that a person needs that to absolutely Chol HaMoed may be washed. And the Mishnah Berurah is lenient. And the Mishnah Berurah says that even if he didn't wash, like Tosfos just said, that one garment before Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed. The Rosh goes on and says that a child's garment is allowed to be washed on Chol HaMoed, because a child, even if he has more than one garment, they get all their clothing dirty quickly, and therefore, when somebody washes the clothing of a child, and as the Kabbalah points out, it's obvious that it's the clothing of a child, therefore we could be lenient and let it be washed in the Chol HaMoed. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Misha Ein Lo Yechluk Echad, if somebody has only one garment, Mutar L'Chapsoi B'Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to wash in the Chol HaMoed. Masa Rav Yimya, ask Rav Yimya, we learned in the Mishnah, Eilem Chapsoi B'Moed, Haba Medina Sayam. The Mishnah gave us a list of people that could wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. Doesn't the Mishnah mean that those individuals in may wash their clothing Chol HaMoed? However, Misha Ein Lo Yechluk Echad, but if he only owns one garment, loy. Amalei Rav Yakla Rav Yimya Azblach Masnisen. Our Mishnah is teaching us that Afgav Dislay Turei Umitnafi, that even if a person has more than one garment, but it got dirty, such a person is allowed, given the examples of our Mishnah, may wash the garments on Chol HaMoed. But a person who only has one garment, that wasn't the subject of our Mishnah. That person is certainly under all circumstances allowed to wash his garments on Chol HaMoed. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Ben Guryei Mishmei Rav Yochanan. Kli Pishton, linen clothing, Mutar L'Chapsoi B'Chol HaMoed. And there's a Machlokes Rishonim, why? One is because there's not a big tircha. Rashi explains there's not a big tircha in washing clothing, and therefore we can be lenient in washing linen clothing. Another explanation that the Ritva and the Rabban say is that these are clothing that quickly get dirty, and since they quickly get dirty, that's why everybody, you'll have to wash them. Chol HaMoed. Masav Rava asks Rava. It says in our Mishnah, mitpachas yodayim, which are hand towels, which get dirty all the time. Mitpachas hasaparim, tup shatim. One is the sheet that's worn when somebody takes a haircut. Other say mitpachas svarim is the covers of the svarim. Hanian, only these may be washed in Chol HaMoed, but kli pishtin loy. Amalei abai masnisin, our Mishnah, which gives the special dispensation by mitpachas hasaparim and mitpachas hayadayim, is a field of sharmini, when it's not linen. But if it's linen, it's always permissible. Amar bar chidya, ledei chazali yamishal tferia, I saw the river by tferia, the mafkle mishikli the money kitna. They used to take out baskets of linen clothing, b'chol HaMoed. So it's clearly an indication that linen clothing may be washed a Chol HaMoed. Maskala Abaya. So Abaya said, who says that this is a compelling proof? Man Lemelon, who's to tell us that Ritzoy Chachamim Avdi? Who says that the Chachamim and the Chazal were satisfied with what they did? Dilma, what happened here was, Shloy Ritzoy Chachamim, the Chachamim weren't satisfied. So the Maritz says, if that's exactly what happened, that the Chachamim were not satisfied that they took linen clothing out, so why didn't they say anything? So Maritz says, we have a rule by the Rabbanans, Mutav Shei Shogigim V'Ayim Ezidin. If we know that they're not going to listen to us, it's better not to say anything. And therefore, it could be Chachamim were not satisfied, but the reason they didn't say anything is because they knew Mutav Shei Shogigim Will Ayahe Mazidin. So one of the things, of course, we may not do on Chol HaMoed is write. But teaches us the Mishnah is going to teach us various examples of documents that may be written on Chol HaMoed. The Elu Kaisim HaMoed. The following documents may be written on Chol HaMoed. And as we're going to see, most of the cases that we're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed are under the general category of Davar Ovid. And because they're under the general category of Davar Ovid, the halacha is that we could be lenient. Not only could we be lenient, but as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that when we have a Davar Ovid, Rabbi Yehuda says we should try to do it with a shinui. Rabbi Yossi says we don't need to do a shinui. And that's why many Rishonim say that given that the examples that we're learning in our Mishnah are Davar Ovid, therefore we can be lenient and we can be lenient and write in a normal fashion. The Bir Halacha has a discussion, what's going to be our Halacha by Sofik Davar Ovid. We have a situation which many of the cases of our Mishnah would fall into that category. It's not certain that it's a Davar Ovid, it's a Sofik of it's a Davar Ovid. So the Mishnah Brura says that when we have a Sofik of a Davar Ovid, he says we have to see if it's a Davar Motsui. If it's likely that we're going to end up here with a situation of a Davar Ovid, so therefore we could be lenient. If it's not likely, we have no right to be lenient by a Davar Ovid. The Chazanish seems to even be more lenient. He says, the Torah Chasa of Amonisha Yisrael, Chazal were always concerned about Jewish finances, and therefore, even if it's under all circumstances, by Sofik Davar Ovid, we could be lenient. So the halacha is we could write as we learn in the first Mishnah Masechta Kedushin, he should niktas b'shloshe drachim. You can be mekadesh a woman in one of three ways, and one of them is with a shtar. And the halacha is that you can write a shtar on a chol hamoed. So the question is, the Bartanura says that even though he wrote on a shtar, that's not a shava pruta. And the Rechroidim want to know why did the Batanura make the point that's not Shava Pruta. So one teretz that I saw is because if the shtar was a Shava Pruta, you don't have to write. You could give the shtar as a Shava Pruta, and that will be a Kedushin. That's why the Batanura says the only shtar that he had was something that wasn't a Shava Pruta. Another pshat that I saw that the Devar Avram explains, he says that a person who has a piece of paper that's not significant, even if it's a, he wouldn't want to be mekadesh with it, even if it was a shava pruta. And the Mishnah is teaching us that you're allowed to write with that shtar. And the Miri says that when our Mishnah speaks about kedushim, it doesn't only mean the kedushim that affects the erusin, but any document that's involved in getting married, you're allowed to write a chol hamoed. Gittin is a get, and the halacha is, because why ask the Yerushalmi, may you write a get on Chol Hamoed? Isn't it a tsar? So he answers, once they've decided to get divorced, the pain is already past. Another explanation that the Karen Ira offers is sometimes Beis Din demands that a couple get divorced, and that's the case that we're talking about. But many Rishonim explain that why is it talking, what's the case here? The case here is that where this husband is going overseas. And it was very common that when men traveled overseas, they would give a get to their wives because travel was dangerous. And if the husband wouldn't come back and we didn't know what his circumstances were, his wife would become an aguna. And in order to avoid his wife from becoming an aguna, we're allowed to write the get on Chol Hamoed. Or we have often, the Gemara discusses, a shchimira. A shchimira is a person who's deathly ill and he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam Chalitza because he doesn't have any children. So such a person is allowed to write a get on Chol Hamoed. V'shoivrim is somebody who pays back a loan and he writes a receipt, because it could be that if he'll refuse to write the receipt, the loiva won't pay back. And the malva knows that whenever he could get the money from the loiva, it's important that he get the money at that time because he doesn't know what the future will hold. Will he get back the money? Daidaki is, as we spoke before, shchimera has special halachas. And one of the halachas of shchimera is the divrei shchimera kiksuvim ukmesurim dami, that everything that the Shemira wants is final. And as Rabbi Yosef explains, so if that's the case, why do we have to write a shtar? The halacha is divrei shchemira k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, even without a shtar, says Rabbi Yosef, because he's concerned that if it's not going to be documented, people might contest what he said and say he didn't say it, whatever. So that's why, in order to make him feel comfortable, we could write in a shtar. Matana is somebody gives a gift. And we have to have a raya that he got the gift. And if he won't have a raya, somebody could protest, how did you end up with this gift? So therefore, the halacha is, you could write it into a document. And as the Ran says, even if you'll take Edom to be there when the gift is given, but what happens if the Edom aren't there, if the gift is contested? Like this, if he has a signed, sealed, delivered document, it's best. Prusbalim. Prusbal, we know, is that when Shemitah comes, all loans are canceled. But Chazal instituted the Prusbal, which gives over the loans to the Beis Din. And the halacha is that such a Prusbal may be written on Chol HaMoed. So the Rishonim ask, the Prusbal is typically written at the end of the year. There's no Chol HaMoed, which is exactly at the end of the year. So the Rishonim explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where this person who's writing the Prusbal is here now at Chol HaMoed, and he's traveling overseas, and we don't know when he's coming back. So this is his opportunity to write the Prusbal, and that's why it can be written in Chol HaMoed. Igra Shum, Rashi explains that a Beis Din gets involved in the Din Torah, for example, amongst Yarshim, and they need to evaluate the property to decide who gets what, that is put into an Igra Shum. Igris Moizon, a couple gets married, and somebody marries a woman who has children from a previous marriage, and he accepts that he's going to support his wife's children. Such a shtar may be written in Chol HaMoed, because we're concerned that if it won't be written in Chol HaMoed, then after Yontif, he may deny that he agreed to do so. Shtar Chalitza, that the halacha is that you can write a shtar Chalitza on Chol HaMoed. So I saw the Karen Oira asks that the Gemara Masechta Yevamos says many times, Kol she'ena oil yibam, ena oil chalitza. The yibam and chalitza travel together. So if that's the case, the halacha we learned early in our Masechta is that a yibam may not be done on Chol HaMoed, a ma'arv and simcha b'simcha. So if yibam can't be conducted in Chol HaMoed, how could there be a chalitza Chol HaMoed? So the Karen Iris says the way to understand that Gemara is that it's talking about a candidate. An individual who's a candidate for Yibum, to be a candidate for Chalitza, you also have to be a candidate for Yibum. But something which is a time issue, you can't get married, you can't do a Yibum Chol HaMoed, doesn't prevent Chalitza from being done in Chol HaMoed. Meunim. The halacha is that if a girl gets married, not by a father, but by her brothers or a mother, and she's below 12, she's not yet a gedola, she could be mamayin. She could annul the marriage. And the davar of it here, explains the Rishonim, is that the girl right now is of age that she could do miyun. If we'll wait till Yom Tov passes, she'll be too old to do miyun. And she wants to do the miyun, and that's why we could do it and record it on Chol HaMoed. Shtari Beruin. One pshat Shtari Beruin is when Beis Din got involved in a case, and they determined this should be to this individual, this should be to another individual. Others explain the shtar beruin is that if people get into a dentira and they say, each one says, I'm going to pick this dayan, and then the two dayanim pick a third dayan, or sometimes the two litigants put down their claims on paper, and we're concerned that they're going to retract, and therefore it may be written in Chol HaMoed. Gzeiras Beis Din, a Beis Din puts down a psak, it could be recorded in Chol HaMoed. Again, we're concerned that it may be forgotten till after Yontif. The Igris Shel Rishus, if there's a ruling, the government gives out a ruling, and we have to be concerned that it's going to be lost. Therefore, the halacha is that it could all be done on Chol HaMoed. All these documents could be done on Chol HaMoed. As we speak about the halachas of writing a Chol HaMoed, It seems from our Mishnah quite clear that one is not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The only thing that we're allowed to do is the examples that our Mishnah just gave where writing is permitted. However, the Poskim discussed this issue quite extensively, and they suggest that the only writing that's Osir on Chol HaMoed, many Poskim say, is Ksav Ashuris, the lettering of a Sefer Torah Tefillin. Any other writing may not be considered a Ksav that's Osir Chol HaMoed. And certainly the Poskim say that even if we'll say other types of lettering are not considered writing a Chol HaMoed, but writing on a computer screen, on a word processor, is not considered writing because there's nothing real there. It's just electronic images. And therefore, if someone needs to write on Chol HaMoed, it would be best that he should write on a computer screen, even if he has to print what he wrote, because that's the least act of ksiva. Amishmul, mutar la'aris ish b'Chol HaMoed. One could do eris in Chol HaMoed because shem yikta mena echer. We have to be concerned that somebody else will, if he'll wait, who knows till then what will happen. And that's why the aloch is that even on Tisha B'Av, the aloch is one is allowed to get engaged. Because since there's a concern of Shem Yigdana Acher, Chazal were Mekel. Lema Masailei, so says the Gemara, we could bring a raya to this halacha from our Mishnah, because we just learned in our Mishnah, Ve'elu Kaisu Moed, Kedushe Noshim. My love, Shturei Kedushim Mamish. So we see that a person is allowed to be Mekadosh, a woman of Chol HaMoed, because there's a concern of Shem Yigdana Acher. Says the Gemara Loi. Our Mishnah is not a raya, because our Mishnah maybe is talking about Shtari Psukta. It's the documents that are written between the two sides where each side promises, gives, makes commitments, and they're recorded. The father of the Kala says to the father of the Chosin, how much are you going to be contributing? And he says, kach for kach. And then the father of the Kala, the father of the Chosin, says to the father of the Kala, kama ata noisin labitcha, how much will you be contributing? And he says, kach for kach, in the kachu, they now get married, kanu. That's considered a full-fledged kinyan. Vehein hein, divarim niklim memira, and these are things that don't need to have kinyan. Still, the aloch is, explained to Rishonim, it may be written on Chol HaMoed to avoid any confusion, any bad feelings. Lema Masailei, I'll bring a raya that you could do Kedushin on Chol HaMoed. We learned in the Mishnah earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Chesam and Beis, Ein Noisa Noshim B'Moed. We're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, Lo B'Sulos Lo Yamonos, not to B'Sulos, not to Almona, Lo Yamim. We spoke about this earlier, we're not allowed to do Yibam on Chol HaMoed, Neshi Simcha Loi. All of these are considered a Simcha, and as we learned, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha Simcha. Hola Aris, isn't that Mishnah clearly an indication that Erisin, which isn't the complete consummation of a marriage, is Peshari? Says the Mara, our Mishnah is not a Raya. Loi Mibayikama. Rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is it goes as follows. Loi Mibay Aris, certainly Erisin, the Loi Kovid Mitzvah, because they're not getting full-fledged married, is also a Chol HaMoed. Ella Fila Lisa, but even to make nesuin, which is the accomplishment of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of puravu, the loch is also. So we don't have a raya from our Mishnah. Toshma, so the Gemara attempts a different raya. The Tanan Beis Shmuel, Ma'arsin, we're allowed to do erisin Chol HaMoed, avaloi kainsim. We're not allowed to do nesuin. Ein oisin surus erisin, we're not allowed to make the suda of the erisin, v'loi miyamim, that we're not allowed to do Yibam, Nesha Simcha Loi, and we have a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Shema Mina, but we see from here that if you're not making a Suda, then the Aloch is, it may be done on Chol HaMoed. And Rav Yosef says that what we do nowadays, the Suda, when a couple gets engaged, that's not what our Gemara is referring to, and it may be done on Chol HaMoed. So we learned the reason somebody could do all these things on Chol Hamoed, and we spoke before, even on Tisha B'Av, because of the concern of Shema Yekdem Eno Acher. Ask the Gemara, Umiyam Shmuel, is Shmuel concerned for Shema Yekdem Eno Acher? Vam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'chol Yoyim V'Yoyim, Baskel Yoytzes, every day there's a Baskel that emanates, for Amar Eris, Bas Pliny L'Pliny, stay Pliny L'Pliny. So whatever you're supposed to have is going to happen to you anyway. So why is there such a concern? Says the Gemara, El Shem Yekdemena Acher Berachman. We're concerned that somebody is going to daven. Somebody's going to daven and cause that the shidduch that you're supposed to have, you won't get. Ki ha the Rava Shamal Ugavra. Rava heard a certain individual, the boy Rachman, that he was davening, vomit his davenly plinza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have help that I should marry this particular woman. Amalei, so Rava said to that individual, Loi tabai rachmi hachi. That's not the way to daven. Ich azilach, if this is the woman that was basher to you, lo azlaminach. She is the woman that's basher to you. V'loi, and if it's not the woman, then how could you go against the will of Hashem? Kofar taba Hashem. Basach Hashem de kama. So then he heard him davening, I limus mekama. If she's not the one that's supposed to be my wife, I would not be able to withstand that she would marry someone else. And therefore he davened, either he should die before her, or she should die before him. So he said again, that's not the tefillah that you're supposed to daven. Because like aminalach, like tabal masachi, whatever is supposed to happen should happen. You should daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should get what you're supposed to get the way you're supposed to get it without any hurdle, without any headache. We have psukim in all of these places that teach us Meshem Ishal Ish, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that preordains who should get married to whom. The ksiv, the pasuk says, by the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, v'yan lovel b'suol, v'yamim men Hashem yotzadova. Men in Nevi'im, when Shimshon wanted to get married to a woman from Pelishtim, the ksiv, v'av v'ima lo yadu, kim Hashem hi. It was at the shidduch that Hashem wanted. And men ksuvim, the pasuk says in Mishlei, ba'yis v'hoin nachlus ovis, v'ma Hashem ishim eskelis. And the Ian Yaakov explains, why do we need three psukim? The first pasuk is talking about Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka were both tzaddikim. Shimshon was a tzaddik, but he married a woman who was not. And the ksuvim, that even if the man is a rasha and the woman is a tzaddikus, sometimes that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So, of course, the Rambam asked the question that we know that everything is based on Bechira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us free will. And yet in our Gemara, we're saying that everything comes preordained when it comes to Shidduchim. So the Rambam explains that what the Gemara here means to say is that Hashem designates a good wife as a potential reward for someone who eventually proves himself deserving of a good wife, and somebody who doesn't behave properly will end up with somebody who isn't so great. The Tashbatz takes a little different approach. And the Tashbatz approach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who should get married to a good woman if he will act in a good way. But if the person ends up not behaving as he's supposed to behave, the halacha is that he's allowed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make that shidduch will not come to be. Amar Rav Mishum Rav Ruvim Ben Estabuli. V'amalei B'masni Satana. We learned in a brayso. Amar Rav Ruvim Ben Estabuli. Ein Adam Nechshed B'davar. People are not accused of doing an Avera. Elm Ken Osa. Unless he indeed did the Avera. V'm Losa Kula. Even if he didn't do the entire Avera, V'm Losa Mektosoy. He did part of the Avera. V'm Losa Mektosoy. Hira B'liba Lesosoy. He at least thought what he did. And as the Mashal explains, even though I don't know what other people are thinking, we don't know what other people think, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an environment that he knows what we're thinking, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make that other people will accuse me of a virus that I'm thinking about. But as the Netziv, won't we know there's a rule of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by a virus Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emitzarfu l'maisa? So why is this person punished if he didn't actually do it? So he says that Pshat in our Gemara is that it's not that he just thought about it. He's satisfied when people act this way. He helps people do the wrong thing. And if that's the kind of person he is, then he gets accused of doing such a virus. That's enough that he should be considered that he thought of doing the avera. Masar of Yaakov, the Pasuk says, V'yachtu b'nei Yisrael, dvarm ashaloi ken al Hashem alakeim. There, they thought things about Hashem that were totally false. Answers the Gemara, Hasam l'hachas David. They were in a state of mind where they were l'hachas. And since they were in the state of mind of l'hachas against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why they started thinking those kind of thoughts about him. Tashma, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'yikanu l'moshe b'machna l'arun kadosh Hashem. Everyone accused Moshe Rabbeinu of having an adulterous relationship with his wife, which of course wasn't true. Says the Gemara, "Hasa mishum sinu David." It was only done out of hatred, but not because Moshe Rabbeinu chas v'shalom even thought of doing such a vera. Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yosi Echelki misha chayshnais abedaver. He asked, "My portion should be with those that are accused of aimboy." Vama Rapapa, I indeed was such an individual. Ladi Chajdun, I was accused of sins for Lahavabi that I never did. Answered Gemara Lakasha, Hard Bekal the Pasuk. What we were speaking about is about a rumor that stops. For Hard Bekal the Loi Pasuk. What Rav Reuven Ratzabuli said was about a rumor that doesn't stop. Says the Mervah Kala, at what point is it considered a rumor that didn't stop? People who are accused of doing something wrong, who live in a city, a rumor is considered a serious rumor if it lasts for a day and a half. But when is that the case? That there was no interruption in the rumor. If it wasn't a rumor that was continuous, less lumbar. That the reason didn't stop was not because people are scared of the person. If the rumor stopped because they're scared of him, loy. It's not that's considered a rumor that did not stop. That the rumor did not resurface. If the rumor resurfaces, loy. That's considered a continuous rumor. V'loyamaran d'lesli oivim, where he doesn't have enemies. Aval isli oivim, if somebody has enemies, then we say oivim hu dafkul kula. It must have been his enemies who started the rumor, and we don't have to pay attention. In fact, I saw tshuva from a Moshe, the Igros Moshe, Yerodei Chelik Aleph, Simon Aleph, where there was a couple who got divorced, and the husband was a shaychet. And his wife said that my husband is a Mechal Shabbos. And the question was, do we accept that rumor and therefore disqualify this individual from being a Shaychet? Says Ramosha, our Gemara says that a person who, and rumor that's started by an enemy is completely discounted. Certainly a couple who got divorced, there's typically going to be bad feelings between this couple, and anything that this woman says is not considered acceptable in Bezdin.